Okay, welcome to tonight's installment of Sefer Shmuel. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by Joel and Barbara Light in honor of the birth of a grandson born to their children, Joey and Naomi Light, and in memory of Joel's grandfather, Shmuel Samuel Mandel, Alav HaShalom, on the occasion of his yahrzeit. In the zchus of our learning together, may these neshamas indeed have an aliyah, a great zchus, a great merit. Okay.
Amen.
Okay, folks, we are still in Perek Chaf Hei in Sefer Shmuel. And if the Perek seems familiar to you, it should be, because this is going to be the third shiur that we're spending on Perek Chaf Hei. You may recall that I told you when we started this Perek that there are three major I don't want to say characters, because character sounds like a fictional character. Three major, what's the word I'm looking for? Protagonists, three major actors. There we go. Three major actors in this parak. And they are David, Naval, and Abigail. In the first shiur, we analyzed the parak from the perspective of what it tells us about David. In the next shiur, we spoke about the Perek from the perspective of what it teaches us about Naval. And we developed the notion that really it's Naval is telling us really about Shaul and all of that. What I'd like to do tonight is to do this Perek one more time. And this time we're going to learn the Perek from the perspective of what it tells us, in my view, about Abigail. About Abigail. So let's start from the beginning of the Perek. Because we've done the parak already twice, we're going to sort of zip through it, and I will pause on in the relevant psukim. But let's start at the beginning. Vayamasa Shmuel vayikavtu kol Yisrael vayispedu lo. Shmuel dies. Everybody gathers, and they eulogize him. Vayakam David vayered amid bar Paran, and David goes to the wilderness of Paran. There was a man, a wealthy man, and it was during the time of the shearing festival. V'shem ha'ish Naval, and his name was Naval. V'shem ishto Abigail. So the first thing we want to point out is that Abigail is not merely an appendage to Naval. She's not just Naval's wife. Naval is not just her husband. But we have Shem Ha'ish Naval, the Shem Ishto, and the name of his wife is Abigail. And the fact that the parak sets it up this way, I believe, is to make the point that Abigail, as a significant significant figure in her own right. Now, I could have said V'shem Ha'isha, but like then we would not have known their relationship at all. But I think by the fact that Shem Ha'ish, the Shem Yishto, this is saying each one is very significant. V'ha'isha tova seichel, v'shem ha'ish Naval, v'shem Yishto of Abigail, v'ha'isha tova seichel v'yifas toar. This woman, Abigail, has two prominent qualities. She is a tovas seichel and yifas toar. She is beautiful in the body, and she is smart. Seichel, tovas seichel. Now, this is a rather unique description. You know, we have yifas toar, yifas mareh, usual. But the fact that she's described as tovas seichel, yifas toar, gives us the introduction, the basis, of what the parak wants us to know, the Navi wants us to know about her. She was smart and she was beautiful. Now, by contrast, Ha'ish Kashev Rama Alalim, he was a tough guy and a bad guy. V'hu Kalbi, and he comes from Kalev, from Shevet Yehuda. So, Abigail is smart and beautiful. Why is it important for the Navi to tell us this? She was smart and she was beautiful. So I think it would be fair to say that the psukim to follow are going to be building on this description of her as smart and beautiful. Vayishma David Bamidbar, and David hears, sorry, one second. If you think back in, sorry for that pregnant pause there. If you think back to Sefer Bereishis, who is described as Yifas Toar?
Anybody? Rachel.
Okay. Rachel is described as Yifas Toar.
Helena.
Anybody else?
Sarah.
Well, I'm sorry?
Sarah.
Is Sarah described as Yifas Toar? Are you guessing or are you saying? I don't remember that.
I think so. I think Yosef also is Yifas Toar.
Well, Yosef is Yifas Toar. So, if I could just go back here, take a look in.
Abraham says, "Can you know Yadati ki shayfat mariat?" That's what it says.
Yeah, it says the right. That's a little different. Okay, but if we take a look in Parshas Chayesara, all right. Let's see here. Chayesara. So Rivka is described by Yehu Tarim Kilal Daber Vine Rivka Yotzeis Asher Yoldal Vesuah Ben Milka Ishus Nachor V'Hanara Tovas Mar'e Me'od. So what did it? What did you say that it said by Sarah? Yifat Mar'at. Okay, so somewhat similar. It says Tovas Mar'e. So Sarah is described as beautiful. Rivka is described as Vahanara Tovas Mar'e, beautiful to the eye. Okay. Anybody else described? So we said Rachel. Okay. What was that? My son tells me that Rachel is described as beautiful in form and appearance. Okay. So this language here of Abigail being described as Yifas Toar, as beautiful, I don't think is by accident, and it is associating her certainly with the great Imahos. Now, I think that there's one aim in particular that she is associated with. But let's take a look and go on. Vayishma David Bamidbar ki gozeis Naval Estono. David heard that Naval was shearing his sheep. And Vayishlach David Asara Narim. David sends his lads, his assistants, and they go to Naval, and he tells them to inquire and say Shalom Aleichem. And basically say, I want a portion of the profits. What was the reason that David felt that he was entitled to some type of remuneration from Naval? So because of the fact that David and his people, they protected the shepherds of Naval. So here you have here you have David doing a tova for Naval and his for Naval and his clan, and now he's expecting a tova, a favor in return. Vayan Naval, and Naval says, "Mi David ubet mi ben Yishai. I don't know this guy. I don't know who he is. I'm not giving him a penny." Vayavchunare David ledarkam. The David's entourage turns around. His group turns around. And they go back to David, and they say to David, Pasuk 13, and David says to them, "Suit up, arm yourselves. We're going to war. We're going to battle." Pasuk 14, "V'lav Avigail eshes Naval higid nar echad men harim lemor." Avigail, the wife of Naval, was told by one of the lads of one of Naval's farm boys, "Hine shalach or shepherds." Hine shalach David malachim me'amid bar levarech es adonenu vayat bahem. David is sending messengers to Naval, and Naval is totally refuting them, rebutting them. V'anashim tovim lanu me'od, and these people were very good to us. They didn't harm us, they didn't shame us, they didn't. They protected us. They were like a wall around us day and night, protecting us and our sheep. V'ata, now, de'ir imata siki chalsara al adonain of Kol Beiso. Avigail, what are you going to do? V'hu ben Belial midaber elav. And Naval, this Belial, this you know, this yokel. I don't know if that's a technical definition or not. You know, he's messing it up for us.
Rabbi,
1 second. Vatimaher Avigail, vatikach masayim lechem, and Avigail goes and she brings gifts of 200 breads and wine and sheep and flour and raisins and dried figs and. She loads up the donkeys, and she tells the Na'arim, go before me and bring this to David. Okay, so before we go any further, just in the psukim that we read, I would suggest that the aim that Abigail reminds us most of, or most prominently of, is Rivka. So why do I say Rivka? Well, number one, she's described as beautiful, and Rivka is described as beautiful. But that in and of itself wouldn't be sufficient because, you know, the other Maos apparently were also described as beautiful. But in addition, Rivka, if you recall, if you go back to the story, Rivka goes to meet Yitzchak, right? And in our story right now, which we're about to read, Vatimaher Avigail Vatikach Masayim Vatasim Al Chamorim Vihiro Cheves Al Chamor. She goes to meet meet David. Now, in addition, Rivka had to be very smart and clever in how she managed the situation with Esav and Yaakov and Yitzchak, right, in terms of who's going to get the bracha. And just as Rivka demonstrated, clever and wily behavior, similarly, Avigail is described as very clever, as very smart, and her actions are also quite, show great wisdom as well. So both Rivka and Avigail are individuals who used their intellect, their smarts, their wisdom, in order to manage a very complex, nuanced situation with some difficult people. In the case of Rivka, it's with dealing with Yitzchak, Esav, and Yaakov, and in the case of Avigail, it's dealing with David and Naval. So here you have an individual, Rivka managing these two people, and Avigail manage, sticking her head in to manage these two people. Yeah, go ahead, Barbara.
Yeah, I that in the beginning when it says she was Tovat Sechel, well, this was the proof, because in those days, the women were not included in anything political or any decision making. I don't think it was all the men's purview. So the fact that the servants went over to Avigail, I think, was the proof that she was Tovat Sechel.
It certainly supports that 100%. Okay, there's yet another. Annie, you wanted to say something? You're on mute.
I just want to say another similarity that occurred to me was that Rivka offered to give water to the camels, allowed water to the camels, and here Abigail is bringing food to David.
Excellent. That was the very next thing I was going to say. Wonderful. Okay, excellent, excellent. So Rivka, right, brings food, brings water to the camel. She does this great chesed, right? And Abigail brings food and gifts to David. Rivka, you know, has to figure out how to get the, you know, to achieve the goal of getting the bracha to her son Yaakov, and Abigail has to achieve the goal of figuring out how to, you know, preserve, you know, to preserve the clan, and that, and you know, and they are, and they are blessed as well. When it comes to Rivka, Rivka has to save her son from being murdered by Esav, and Abigail has to save, you know, the members of the clan from being murdered, wiped out by, you know, by David. So there are many, many, just up until what we've done up until now, there are quite a few parallels between Abigail and Rivka. Let's go, let's continue further.
There is one more thing that you can
mention. Yeah, go ahead.
Naval, husband, is Otiot Lavan.
Yes. Yes. So Naval is the letters of Lavan, and Rivka, of course, is the sister of Lavan, and we recall from Bereishis, you know, when Avraham, you know, says, "Don't say you're my wife, say Achosi, say you're my sister," right? And in I think. Rabbi Yitzchak Shalom pointed out, I don't know if this is classical Mefarshim as well, that, you know, there was a wife-wife and there was a sister-wife. So just the idea that Naval and Lavan have this, you know, wife-sister relationship is yet another connection. Okay, Pasuk 21. So she's riding on this camel, V'hine David v'anashav yardim l'krasav, and so she approaches and she meets David. V'David Amar, and David says, "Achla sheker shamarti es kol asher lazeh b'midbar." I regret, you know, the good that I have done. It wasn't worth anything because I didn't get it. You know, I did this kindness, and now I'm not. And now I'm not being properly rewarded for it. I'm getting this ungrateful behavior from this ingrate. Well, I don't know, ingrate, but from this ungrateful person. By the way, that takes us back to 2 weeks ago when we pointed out the connections between David and Esav, right? Like Esav saying, you know, what do I need these brachas for, right? When, you know, what do I need the bechora for? Lama zeli bechora. So here you have David, you know, saying a similar thing, sort of like giving up on it when it's not convenient or something is frustrating him. That brings us back to our old David Esav connection. Okay, but be that as it may, so he's upset that he did a taiva and he's not getting the tova back. He's not getting a proper, you know, proper gratitude. Ko yas Elohim lo ave David v'chol Yosef. And David makes a vow that his enemies should be punished by Hashem. Im ashir mikol asher lo ad haboker mashtin bekir. And that, furthermore, I will take them out, and nobody will be left over. So here you have David threatening to kill everyone. Vater Avigail is David. Avigail sees David. Vatimaher vatered mel achamor. She immediately descends from the chamor. And she falls on her face. She prostrates before him on the ground. Now, does anybody remember when Rivka meets Yitzchak? Yeah, she's vatipol me'alagamah. She falls, from the camel, right? And she's on the ground. So here you have similarly Avigail meeting David. And falling on the ground, in this case, prostrating yourself before him. So that's another connection. There's yet another connection, which is that when Rivka sees that there's a problem at hand, i.e., that Yaakov needs the, she feels is the appropriate one who should get the bracha, but even more pronounced than that. That she understands that Yaakov's life is in danger, she snaps into action. She doesn't consult. She doesn't talk. She doesn't plan. She just snaps into action. And is that not Avigail? when Abigail was was approached by the Na'arim, she snaps into action. Here she meets David, snaps into action. Batipol al raglav, and she falls on at his legs. Vatomer biani adoni haavon usidaber na amascha beaznecha ushma es divrei amasecha, and she pleads before him, and she refers to herself as
a servant.
Actually, we'll get back to that. Al na yosim adoni aslibo elisha blial azed. And then she gives him advice, and she says, "Don't listen to this Bleal, this person who has no fear of Hashem. Ki kishmo kenhu naval shmo navala imo. He's a naval. That's his name. That's who he is. That describes him. Va'ata adoni chay Hashem b'chinaf shecha asher minoach Hashem ibo b'damim v'oshay yad chalach v'ata yu kinavala ivecha v'hamivakshim al adoni ra'a." This blessing that I've brought to you, take it, accept it, and don't cause any harm. So here you have Abigail, giving him this bracha, talking him through it, in essence, saving the day. And that's what Rivka did as well. Furthermore, when Rivka is, how does Rivka find out that Esav wants to kill Yaakov? The pasuk doesn't say precisely who tells her, but what the pasuk does say, if we go back to the end of Chayesara. Not Chayesara. We go back.
Hold up.
Yeah. Here. Perek Chaf Zayin, Pasuk Membez. Pasuk says, Vayugad Lerivka Estivri Esav Binahagadol. What Esav had planned, what Esav thought, what Esav said, his intentions were regarding his brother, whom he hates, was told to Rivka. It doesn't say who exactly told her. It doesn't say, but it was. It says Vayugad, and it was told to her. Now let's go back to Abigail, and how does Abigail find out that David is going to wants to wipe out the clan? It says that the Na'arim came. And they, and they told her. In other words, she is informed about the situation. David doesn't speak to her directly, but she's informed about it. And the same thing here. Just as Rivka is informed about the nefarious intentions of Esav, Abigail is informed, she's told by a third party, about the nefarious intentions of David HaMelech. Okay? So, In all of these ways, Abigail is really calls to our attention. Calls to our attention, Rivka. And the question is, what is the significance of this? Why is Rivka, constantly being, drawn to our attention here? What is the significance of that? Okay. So before I answer that question, I want to point out that Abigail, the concluding part of our parak here is David agrees to Abigail's entreaty, and she says to him, let this not be a reason for you to stumble and fall. And when you do the right thing, Hashem will reward you, and you will one day ultimately be the leader of Klal Yisrael. That's basically what she says. And when you do that, v'heitiv l'adoni, and when Hashem does good for you, v'zacharta samasecha, you should recall me. You should remember me.
You should marry me.
Well, it says v'zacharta samasecha. You should remember me. So what's going on over here? The parak continues that David is extraordinarily grateful to Abigail for convincing him to stay his hand, Not too much later, Nabal dies, and then very shortly after that, apparently, David sends his messengers to bring Abigail, that he wants to marry her, and she willingly comes. So there are two ways, I believe, to read this story. Chazal say, look at Pasuk Lamed Beis. After she says, V'zachartis amasecha, remember me, do the right thing, and you're going to rise in power, and you're going to, V'heitiv Hashem l'adoni, Hashem will do good to you, and when that happens, remember me. Vayomer David la'Avigail, and David responds to Abigail, Baruch Hashem, etc., etc. How is Abigail's name spelled? Aleph, look in the Pasuk here, Pasuk 32. Aleph, Beis, Yud, Gimel, Lamed. Now, that spells Avigal. Avigail has a Yud, and it's missing a Yud. So Chazal point out that the reason for this missing Yud in Avigail's name is to say that when she said, V'zachartis amasecha, remember me, you'll marry me, it really, may not have been the most noble thing for her to do. And Chazal are a little critical of that. Now, you could read the story that Abigail is really a manipulative woman. She was, what do they call her? Tovas Sechel v'Tovas Mareh. She used her feminine wiles and her feminine intellect to achieve a very manipulative and successful goal. I mean, she ultimately gets what she wants. So this is a pretty harsh way to read it. But you could read the parak that way. And perhaps when Chazal tell us that Abigail is missing the Yud because she acted inappropriately, maybe this is an indication that really the whole parak should be read that way.
But it wouldn't have said Tovat Sechel, Rabbi.
Why? Tova here doesn't mean good as in ethically good. It means this trait is a strong trait, and she's Tov Sechel. She's smart. I want to go back now and read, if not exactly read every pasuk, but if Abigail reminds us of Rivka, there's somebody else that Abigail reminds us of as well, and this is neither Rachel, Leah, or Sarah, but I would say that it is Yaakov. Avigail reminds us of Rivka, and Avigail reminds us of Yaakov. How does Avigail remind us of Yaakov? Well, first of all, if David is Esav, and David is confronting Avigail, so then Avigail is Yaakov to David's Esav, right? Okay? So let's work this through a little bit. Let's think about some things about Abigail in this story and Yaakov. So Abigail sends gifts of food to David in order to redeem her clan from the threat of destruction, by David. That's Abigail.
Yeah, That's what Yaakov did to Esav.
And that's, I don't know if Yaakov does that to Esav.
Yeah, because when he meets his brother, he goes out and he gives gifts, and they use the word baruchat blessing. He gives him blessings to placate Esav.
Yeah, that's. He gives gifts to placate Esav.
When he was leaving Laban's camp. And he sees Esav and his entourage coming to meet him. He goes ahead and then sends out gifts.
Okay, so I agree with you, but that's not what I was just saying. What I was saying is giving gifts in order to redeem somebody. So Yaakov does give gifts in order to redeem somebody, but it's not Esav. He sends his boys down to Mitzrayim with food gifts to Paro in order to redeem Shimon, who was stuck in jail. So Abigail sends gifts to David to redeem the clan from the threat of physical harm, and Yaakov similarly beforehand sends a food gift to Paro in order to redeem Shimon and rescue him from physical harm. Two, Abigail goes to confront her potential nemesis here, David. And similarly, I think this is, Fred, what you were saying a moment ago, that Yaakov goes to meet Esav in order to confront him, to confront the danger. He doesn't run away. He doesn't. He goes and he confronts Esav.
And placates him.
Just like over here. In addition, Fred, I think you mentioned this as well, that Abigail sends gifts to David, and Yaakov sends those gifts to Esav, right? So that's yet another way in which Abigail is reminding us of Yaakov. Let's start with Abigail. You know, when Abigail confronts David, you know, she has this whole speech prepared, or maybe not prepared, but she gives this whole speech. And as a consequence of that speech, the threat is removed. Now Yaakov also gives not exactly a speech, but he prays to Hashem. He says a tefillah, you know, to Hashem. Also, to remove the threat. Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yit. You know, Yaakov does something similar. In addition,
he bowed to Esav sheva pe'amin, like Abigail bowed before David.
Oh, very good. So Abigail bows before David, and Yaakov bows before Esau.
Before he comes to Esau, yes.
Yeah, Yaakov brings quote unquote bracha. I think the term is used, bracha. He brings bracha to Esau. You know, he's giving him these gifts, and they're referred to as bracha. And Abigail's gifts are also referred to as a bracha. Yaakov, when he confronts Esau, he calls him Adoni. And refers to himself, I believe, as Avdecha. Similarly, Abigail, she confronts David, and she refers to David as Adoni, and she refers to herself as Amasecha. So, and then, of course, just as Yaakov had to be very clever in the way that he managed, Lavan, right? Similarly, Abigail had to be very clever in the way she managed David. Okay. I'm sorry.
They both had to deal with red. Red people.
With red people.
David ya Admoni veEsav ya Adom.
Right. That is true. Although in this particular parak, the Adom is not mentioned, but yes, that is correct. There is one other thing that I think we have Abigail calling our attention in the description of herself and her events and the words in the psukim reminds us of Rivka and also reminds us of Yaakov. There's one other Rivka connection that I don't think I mentioned, which is that. She planned the whole thing. Rivka planned the whole thing with Yaakov and Esav and Yitzchak without consulting Yitzchak on the matter, and she didn't tell him the plan. She didn't tell him. She was indeed keeping him in the dark. And of course, Abigail keeps Naval in the dark until you know, it's until way after the fact. So here we have Avigail reminding us of Yaakov, and we have Avigail in these psukim reminding us of Rivka. So, what is the meaning of all of this? What is the meaning of all of this? So, yeah. Anybody, you want to say something before I go ahead? Ein chadash tachat ha-shemesh. All right. Ein chadash tachat ha. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything repeats itself. Okay? You know, perhaps. So, I think that let's go back to the two ways that you could read this perek as it relates to Avigail. Avigail is either a noble woman acting with noble intentions in order to nobly save the lives of people, or Avigail is a manipulative woman who used her feminine charms to get something out of David in an inappropriate way. Now, she might have saved people along the way, but you know that was just a byproduct of what she was trying to accomplish. So how do you read it? How do you read it? And I think that what the Navi is telling us is that there is a difference between clever and duplicitous. And if there are two ways how to read this perek in terms of Abigail, the fact that the Navi draws our attention to Yaakov and Rivka in all of these manners is to tell us, read the perek that Avigail acted nobly. Because just as Rivka, you know, we believe, acted nobly, she was, she acted with, she was clever, and she had to withhold, this and that and the other thing. But at the end of the day, her motivations were noble, and the goal was noble. And there is a fine line, perhaps being duplicitous and clever, and maybe the difference between duplicitous and clever is what your intentions are. But she had to act with wisdom here. She didn't necessarily have to say everything to Naval, and she didn't necessarily have to say everything straight out to David either. And similarly with Rivka. In order to get what she needed, maybe this was necessary, maybe it was not. We'll save that for another discussion. But by drawing our and Yaakov as well. Yaakov we consider to be a noble person. Certainly, how he conducted himself, he is an Av of Klal Yisrael, and Yaakov, even if earlier on you want to make the argument that he was duplicitous, that argument, certainly the trajectory of his life points to a person of great honor and nobility. So I think the fact that that Abigail reminds us of Rivka and reminds us of Yaakov is to point our attention to two people who had to deal with very, very complicated, difficult situations, and they had to find a way to maneuver a little bit. And that maneuverability, could potentially be misunderstood as duplicity, as nefarious behavior. And that's why the Navi tells us all of these things to draw our attention to Yaakov and Rivka, who certainly by this time we understand to be people of great nobility, that so too was Abigail. So this is one possibility. One possibility why we have all these Yaakov and Rivka allusions. But I think there's go ahead.
That was in a very happy marriage, and Avigail was not. That's a major difference.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Say it again.
I said that Rivka was in a very happy marriage, a loving marriage with Yitzchak, Abigail, as you could read between the lines, would...
Okay. All right. I think that there's another layer here. And the other layer is that certainly Rivka had to deal with an angry Esav. Yaakov had to deal with somebody who thought was an angry Esav. And Abigail has to deal with an angry David. And maybe what the Navi is telling us here, by making all these allusions to Rivka and to Yaakov, is giving us a Musar Haskel here about how to deal with angry people. What is the correct methodology with dealing with an angry person? Do you deal with anger by hitting the anger and pounding it into submission? Or is there a more nuanced way to deal with it, a more sophisticated way to deal with it? And Rivka teaches us how to deal with angry people, and Yaakov teaches us how to deal with angry people, right? In Rivka's case, sometimes the way to deal with an angry person is to avoid them, right? Sometimes you have to avoid them. Yaakov teaches us that maybe the way to deal with an angry person is you try to find favor with them, and you try to, give them first, maybe give them space, and then and then come to them with some type of favor. But in neither case, neither Rivka nor Yaakov do they come at Esav, head on, willing to fight and do battle, because when you're just dealing with anger, fighting isn't, winning a fight isn't going to resolve the anger. And while Rivka doesn't actually resolve the anger, but she manages it, and by having Yaakov in essence avoid Esau for a while, gives him an opportunity to calm down and shift, and he ultimately does shift. And in Yaakov's case, when he feels ready to confront him, he doesn't just confront him, head on with a sledgehammer. He sends him matanos. He sends him, he sends him gifts. So, yeah.
The key word in this perek is tovat seichel.
Yeah.
Use the seichel letova. This is what he wants to say here. Not usually tovat lev, you say. You don't say tovat sechel, but to use the sechel tovah, especially when you deal with ra on the other side.
Right.
You have naval on the other side. You have whatever it is. Atzichim lishtamesh basechel letovah.
Right. So
and both of them are doing it.
Yeah.
Gam Rivka also says it.
Vegam Yaakov. Right. So you have Abigail and Yaakov and Rivka all using their seichel, their wisdom, to manage angry people. And this, of course, is a Musar Haskel for us. I'm sure everybody here has angry people that they have to deal with from time to time, And maybe the best way to handle an angry person isn't to take a sledgehammer and try to beat them into submission. It might feel good, but it doesn't necessarily, and it might even work temporarily to stave off the immediate trigger. But it's certainly not a long-term solution. And so maybe a second reason why we have these Rivka and Yaakov allusions here throughout the parak, again, is tonight, as opposed to the last 2 weeks, which we first looked at the parak from what it tells us about David, and then to the parak what it tells us about Naval and Shaul, tonight we're saying, what does this parak tell us about Abigail? And what it tells us about Abigail is that she was Tovat Seichel when dealing with very angry people. And that's, I think, a very important message for us in our own interpersonal relations. And then there's one final idea that I think is worth noting. Avigail, in this perek, basically serves up one grand nisayon for David. She, either intentionally or just through divine providence, poses a test, a challenge that David has to meet. What's the test that she poses to him? Well, when at the beginning of the perek, we find that Nabal's people were afforded protection and goodness by David. He did him a tova. Then the Navi tells us that Nabal was a kafui tov. Nabal was ungrateful, and he didn't show his gratitude to David properly. Then we have David getting angry about the fact that Nabal was not grateful, did not show gratitude. And here comes the test. Here comes the test. How is David going to handle this? Right? This lack of gratitude. So Avigail comes along, and Avigail does a tova for David. And the tova that she does for David, the kindness that she does for him, is to take him out of his anger state, and to give him a new perspective. And David then shows great gratitude. He does show gratitude to Avigail by ultimately, marrying her. He's Mishalim Tov, right? When at the right time, he sends forth to marry her.
That's because she validated his own views.
Well, I don't know if that's the reason, but... What?
She validated David's views rather than Nabal. She took David's side rather than Nabal's side.
Well...
So that calmed him down,
Okay.
So that...
Okay, but good, good. That's when you're able to validate how a person is feeling, then they don't feel the need to project it further and to defend themselves, and they can maybe hear something else. So she was wise. She was tovat seichel here. But the point that I'm making here is that David then acknowledged the kindness that she did for him, and he then showed gratitude back to her. So, on some level here, Avigail is testing David. David was so upset that Nabal was ungrateful. Well, now let's see how you do when somebody does a kindness to you. Do you show gratitude? And David passes the test. David passes the test. So Avigail's presence here, in addition to what we said about being connected to Rivka and Yaakov in the other ways, is about the test. And Yaakov poses a test to Esav. When Esav comes in the door and he says, "Ayefi Ageya," he's famished and he's tired, and he says, "Haliteni namin adom adom azeh," give me from this lentil soup. And Yaakov says, "I'll give it to you if you sell it to me. If you sell me the Bechor, I'll give it to you." That was a test for Esav. And Esav fails that test. He gives up the Bechor. So here you have Avigail, again, connected to a connection to Yaakov, being a test. She was the test for David HaMelech. And David HaMelech passes the test. I'm not sure if we can find a similar test for Rivka, but Rivka was definitely tested, right? When Eliezer comes and tries to find a wife for Yitzchak, and she, passes the test to see if she's going to be, kind and good and good-hearted, right? So definitely testing is part of her story as well. So Avigail reminds us of Yaakov, and Avigail even reminds us, maybe not as strongly, to Rivka in the context of testing, But she provides this very, very important test to David. And this test of gratitude is a necessary, is a test which indicates a very necessary quality for the person who's going to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. Because the leader of Klal Yisrael cannot be somebody who is entirely arrogant, but has to feel a measure of humility. He has to be strong with his positions, but not haughty in his station. And so David passes this test and further indicates why he is ra'ui to be king. So just in conclusion here, we looked at this perek three times. Once from the perspective of what it tells us about David, once from the perspective of what it tells us about Naval and Shaul, and then tonight from the perspective of what it tells us about Avigail. Avigail was somebody who was extraordinarily wise and smart, Tovat Seichel, and she used her Seichel for the betterment of her family, for the betterment of David, and this ultimately redounds to the betterment of Klal Yisrael. Okay, any comments or questions before we head out for tonight? Go ahead, Kalman. One second. One at a time. Go ahead, Kalman.
I wondered who wrote this parak. Shmuel died.